I'm Veronica Marshall at the Capitol. This week on Senate Spotlight, an evenly split Senate has officially convened for the 94th legislature, with Republicans and DFLers agreeing to share power until a majority is reached. We have the details on what that agreement looks like. And a deeper dive into the issue of fraud, waste, and abuse in Minnesota.
That's our taxpayer money, and that needs to be handled and administered professionally so that the people that actually need it can get it.
There is a gap, and this would fill that gap and work with those other agencies to make sure that our dollars are protected.
That's coming up.
Senate Spotlight is produced by the Minnesota Senate and Senate Media Services.
The 94th legislature started off with a bipartisan agreement on how the Senate will be governed while there is a temporary tie amongst its members. The senators say the good faith agreement honors the memory of the late Senator Carrie Dietzick.
Be still, my soul, the Son of life divine, through passing clouds shall but more brightly shine.
Carrie's work was never about personal glory. It was about making a real difference.
She was. She was unfailingly kind, always calm, a friend to everyone.
Somber moments at the start of the session as senators remember their colleague, the late Senator Carrie Dietzick.
She gave me advice that I still carry on to today. She said, don't worry about the politics or the loud voices, do the right thing.
Me being a Republican, it never seemed like that mattered when you were talking or working with Carrie.
Senate leaders say while Dietzick's chair is empty, her example is present, helping them create a new path forward during this unprecedented time.
It was really a day where we could get together, honor Senator Dietzick with an agreement here today where we're doing the power sharing. And you see quite a contrast between what's happening here and what's happening over the House. And hopefully this is something that we can continue going forward, really hoping to work this model until the end of session for the benefit of Minnesotans.
With a 33-33 tie between Republicans and DFL members, starting the session on time required new levels of collaboration.
Just after Christmas, we lost our beloved Senator Dietzick, which places the Senate in a rare tie. When I reached out to Leader Johnson to talk with him about the fact that we were in a rare tie, we immediately agreed that we should come together to find a way to an organizing framework. I want to provide my deepest gratitude to everyone in this chamber, to our staff, to the members, to those in the room, to everyone for taking this leap of faith, if you will, that allows us to begin together, and particularly to Leader Johnson, who said yes and guided us through this.
The power-sharing agreement, known as Senate Resolution Number 1, passed with unanimous support.
The Senate Resolution Number 1 is adopted.
The agreement covers the election of co-presiding officers, committee management and agreements, and appointments, and expires when one of the parties reaches a majority.
It is good to get to work for the people of Minnesota. In the Minnesota Senate, we recognize that we're in a temporary tie, and we took that seriously because a tie is a tie, and we wanted to get to work.
We're going to have power sharing up at the president's desk. We're also going to have power sharing within the committees themselves. And so you're going to see co-chairs. You're going to see committees evenly split between Republicans and Democrats. So agreements are going to have to be reached at each committee level as we move forward. So
forward into the new session and forward with Senator Dietzick's legacy.
And the legislature can be a chaotic place, but Carrie was the type of person who really knew how to make order out of that chaos.
As part of the power-sharing agreement, Republican Senator Jeremy Miller and DFL Senator Bobby Joe Champion were elected as the new co-presiding officers of the Senate during the first floor session. A new tool has been proposed to address the issue of fraud, waste, and abuse in Minnesota. I'm now joined by the senator who proposed the new solution. Senator Gustafson, welcome to Senate Spotlight.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So during the interim, you announced your intention to introduce legislation that would create a new Office of Inspector General. What inspired you to call for this?
So I was elected 2 years ago, and when I was running for office, we heard a lot about feeding our future. And when I got to the legislature, once I got my feet underneath me, I started asking questions about things I had heard on the doors. What about this? What are we doing for this? And it turns out that we had some things in the works. So in 2023, I think we passed over 10 pages of new policy proposals that would put guardrails on some of the money that was going out. But I don't know that it was meeting the moment. And as we see some of these new cases come out, I started asking, let's go back to some of those ideas I had earlier. Can we build on those? One of those ideas was establishing an Office of Inspector General. We don't have one here in Minnesota, and it's statewide. We have three internal Inspector General or Inspectors General, but the idea would be an independent office that works outside of agencies and is just monitoring all public and private entities that receive taxpayer dollars. That was the idea. It's a bipartisan idea. It's been introduced by both parties in the past. We just wanted to make sure that this time we followed through with it.
And how big of a problem do you think this is here in Minnesota?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, we're looking at the cases that have come out, and everybody's bothered by it, Republicans and Democrats. It's gotten a lot of attention. I always say this, my husband and I, we have four kids. We are middle class, probably in the lower end. We are very paycheck to paycheck. I don't like it either. I don't like my taxpayer dollars being used in ways that I didn't sign up for. It bothers me as well. It makes me angry to feel that we are a target. And so we wanted to do something about that. I think there is room for us to act. I think what Minnesotans look at us in trusting their votes with us and taxpayer dollars with us, that we have an obligation to do the right thing with that. We need to make sure that our dollars aren't being used, they're not being wasted, they're not being taken advantage of. And that's probably what this office is, the primary goal. It's an independent oversight authority that would make sure that any public or private entity that receives taxpayer dollars would be open to investigation if those dollars looked like they weren't being used properly.
Now, we know fraud, waste, and abuse is bad, but how does it impact taxpayers?
I think, there are a lot of really great programs out there, programs that have really good intentions. If you look at some of the recent cases, the autism centers, those are like legitimately good programs that are trying to help people. And when people take advantage of those programs and those dollars, it's not just the fact that we've lost money. We have hurt people in our communities who needed those services. And when we go to try to fund services like that in the future, if people can't trust us with those dollars, it's going to be very hard to accomplish those goals.
And are you getting that kind of feedback from constituents on this topic?
I am. I think they see the headlines and they wonder, what are we doing? When I introduced this bill and I went out to my community to say I was working on that, I have not met anybody who said, oh, be careful, that sounds like it could be a problem. In fact, people, Democrat, Republican, and everybody in the middle agreed that this was the right thing to do, and they were happy that I was carrying it. I think this is, and I stated this earlier, but this is meeting the moment. This is addressing something, a gap that is clear in some of the established places that we have that are doing a wonderful job, but there is a gap. And this would fill that gap and work with those other agencies to make sure that our dollars are protected.
Now, outside of this current proposal that you have, are there other things that can be done legislatively to address this issue?
Sure. We can look at the OLA. Like I said, in 2023, we passed quite a bit of fraud prevention policy. And so those are in effect now. But what we envisioned the Independent Office of Inspector General to do is work with these agencies. While they are an independent oversight authority, they would work with the OLA, they would work with the Attorney General, they would work with the BCA. These are places where an Office of Inspector General would make everybody stronger. That's the idea.
Now, you have this push to create this new office. The governor has released his intentions and ideas behind stopping fraud, waste, and abuse. So there's a lot of momentum behind this topic at the moment. That said, do you anticipate any challenges pushing through your ideas?
Well, look, any plan to target fraud, waste, and abuse is good. I welcome that. I want to learn more about it, and I would likely support it. But our bill is different, and our bill has bipartisan support. And I've been working very hard with my Republican senators and colleagues and friends who also want to get this done. I do believe that this is something that both parties can work on and want to work on. And so I'm so happy to hear that the governor has plans, but we're going to do what we do in the legislature and try to get a bill passed that has bipartisan support.
Okay. Do you have any message for Minnesotans on this topic? You know, what do they need to hear from you?
I want Minnesotans to know that I hear their concerns. I share their concerns. Their concerns are valid. And that's why I am making this my top priority for this session, because I really want to help to answer those concerns with a real solution and not just talking points.
Senator, is there anything else I haven't asked you yet on this topic that you'd like to say?
I would say that I am excited about a balanced power in the legislature. And while not everybody might be, I really am. I think we have a unique opportunity. And when you could find issues like this that have bipartisan support, it really shows Minnesotans that there are things we agree on and there are things that we can get done. Big things, not just small things, but really big things that will help and make a difference. And so I'm looking forward to this session. I think it's gonna be good.
Senator, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
What are your thoughts on fraud, waste, and abuse in Minnesota? Do you agree with the idea of creating a new office of the Inspector General to address the issue, or do you think there are better solutions? Let us know by joining the conversation on our Facebook page at MN Senate. There have been several large-scale instances of fraud, waste, and abuse here in Minnesota in recent years, such as the Feeding Our Future case and, more recently, the federal investigation into suspected Medicaid fraud tied to autism centers. Republican Senator John Jasinski has been advocating for stronger protections against fraud, and he joins us now. Senator, thank you for being here.
Thanks, Veronica. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So when we talk about fraud, waste, and abuse at the state level, what are we talking about?
Well, there's been many, many instances. Since I came in 2017, we've been talking about this. CCAP, the child care, Feeding Our Futures, the Medicaid fraud. There's just all kinds of different cases that have been happening over the last several years.
And how big of a problem would you say that that is here in Minnesota?
I think it's a big problem. We've been talking about it for many, many years. Nothing's really been getting done about it that we see. People of the state of Minnesota are upset. That's one of the big things I hear when I'm out in my district, in the post office, the grocery store. People are, you know, that's our taxpayer money. And that needs to be handled and administered professionally so that the people that actually need it can get it. And if it's being done through waste, fraud, and abuse, it's being taken advantage of, and we just can't have that in Minnesota.
Now, Senator, do we have any numbers or data highlighting the amount of fraud, waste, and abuse happening here?
You know, the Center for American Spirit had a great website on there, and to their total going back from 2019 to 2024, it's about $553 million or $552 million and change about. That's a big number, Veronica.
Now, people in your district were particularly mentioned in a fraud case regarding Minnesota's Medicaid program. What have you heard from them on the issue?
You know, again, going back to the residents that you hear, they're upset hearing what's going on with the cases and taking advantage of a certain distance away from Faribault to send people to Medicaid. I think the Pit Stop 66 is the case they're talking about. Again, it's taking people from Faribault and using names fictitiously to get mileage reimbursements to the Twin Cities. So not are they being handled in Faribault area, but they're being shipped up and fictitiously with names of many of them farther away so they can get more reimbursement mileage. And that's, again, just wrong. It's taking money away from people that need it and is frauding the system.
Now, we know this is a budget year, and we've heard both sides on the issue of the budget regarding fraud, waste, and abuse, that countering that can help balance our budget, and others saying it's just such a small drop in the bucket that it won't make a difference. You know, where do you fall on that issue?
Well, I think every dollar makes a difference, to be honest, and that's a dollar that you're taking away from another taxpayer that needs it. So I say it's a big thing. You know, we went back to 2 years ago. We had an $18 billion surplus. We've heard many times on that. They've increased spending on the other side in a trifecta government, which is not good for our state. We need some checks and balances, and when they increase spending by that much, 40% in 1 year, something's wrong. And a lot of this money is being mismanaged. The Walz administration, this stops with them. This is the Walz administration. It's been 2019 to 24. We've been talking about it since I came in the legislature, and I hope at some point people take this seriously and we can reduce this, eliminate this. It's difficult to eliminate completely. I get that. You're always going to find things. But the amount that's happened here in Minnesota, I think it's the number one state in the nation for fraud and abuse. So we have to get that underneath control.
Wow. So the DFL senator has proposed the creation of a new Office of Inspector General to kind of combat these issues. You know, is this an idea you support?
Well, you know, if it's outside the administration, it's a separate arm and it's bipartisan, yes, but I don't think it is. I think what's happening in the House, they've set up a new committee that's looking at that. I can't remember the specific name of it. I might have it here somewhere, but they're looking at Fraud Oversight Committee, and this is being chaired by Representative Christian Robbins, and this is something that I think will really bring things together. I think with just a recent resignation of Commissioner Jody Harpstead from DHS is... You know, the timing of this may be coincidental. It may not be. I think there's some fear of what's going to come out with this committee. And I think this is a great step forward with what the House is doing to put a committee at looking at this, giving them subpoena power, and really digging into what the waste and the fraud and the abuse has been and to prevent it from the future.
Now, you said that you have hope that this issue will be taken seriously, and it's something that you've talked about for years in your caucus as mm-hmm. well. Given that, you know, there's this DFL push for a new office and the governor's work on this issue so far this session, do you feel like it might receive that bipartisan support you've been looking for?
Well, again, we've been up against a trifecta for the last 2 years, so that's been very frustrating. And I actually posed that as a question to in a leadership meeting with the Democrat controls head. Have you ever been up against a Republican trifecta? And nobody in that room had ever dealt with that. So again, we're concerned with this. I think this is the first step by the House being tied. At least it gives some checks and balances. But I really think divided government is best, and that actually puts some checks and balances. And I think the timing of it, you know, it questions me a little bit with the governor coming out. I think they're realizing that an election is coming up in 2026, and now they're trying to put some emphasis towards this because they're concerned with what's happening. Even on a national level, the people are frustrated. You saw what happened with the presidential election. We saw things turn quite decisively. And I think the Democrats here in Minnesota are concerned about that, and I think that's why they're coming out with this. So I hope it's genuine. I hope we can reach some issues and find out what's going on here. But we really need to get this under control. And again, we've been talking about it for years. My 8 years up here, I've been talking about it from the very first year with the child cap CCAP issue here with the child care. And hopefully we will see some progress this year.
With all the talk of progress on this issue for this session, do you think you guys can knock it out, or is it going to take sustained collaboration to counter, you know, fraud, waste, and abuse in Minnesota?
Well, just watching the start of the legislature yesterday with the House and what's going on and us with the power sharing agreement, I'm concerned. I would like to see a little bit more divided government, obviously. In our first couple years in 2017 and 2018, we had a Republican House, a Republican Senate, and a Democrat governor. And that's actually where we got some things done. That's before Governor Walz's time, but actually I saw things get done. There was compromise, there was checks and balances. And since that, then we lost the House 2 years later, and it made it a little bit more difficult. But I think a divided legislature with some checks and balances are what Minnesotans want. They want to see that there's some checks and balances and that this isn't out of control. And I believe in the last couple of years, Minnesota has been out of control with their waste, the fraud, and the abuse happening here.
Senator, is there anything else you'd like to say on this topic that I haven't been able to ask you about?
No, I think, Veronica, you've hit the points. Again, we want to bring this, we've been trying to bring this to the highlight of a lot of things over the years, but hopefully now the governor's serious about it. I think with the House, with that new committee, and if that gets set up the way it should be, that will help. But anything we can do to stop what's going on here in Minnesota, again, from across the state, people are looking at Minnesota saying, what's going on in Minnesota? It's gotten extreme, and we have to get that under control.
All right. Senator, thank you so much for your time.
Thanks, Veronica.
Across the Minnesota state government, there are several entities responsible for investigating fraud. One of them is the Office of the State Auditor. I'm now joined by State Auditor Julie Blaha, who can give us a more in-depth look into fraud in Minnesota and what we can do to combat it. Auditor Blaha, thank you for being here.
Oh, so glad to talk about this and to be here today. It's a hot topic.
So what do people need to know about fraud in Minnesota?
Well, it's interesting. You know, a lot of us know about fraud in general. The discussion we've had recently has really focused on fraud that happened during COVID. So it's about that money that came to people in an extreme crisis situation. So we have to be really careful when we look at fraud, that if we use recent examples, we have to sort out which of those are a global pandemic issue, or which of those are business as usual. So we have a lot to learn from COVID, but we have to be really careful that we're learning the right lessons.
So talk to me how your office intersects with fraud. How do you, sure, you know, work with it or through it?
Well, and by the way, if any of your viewers don't know what the state auditor does, don't feel bad. They are different in every single state. And in Minnesota, the state auditor oversees about $60 billion in government activity, most of it at the local level. So my focus is our school districts and cities and townships and counties and special districts, port authorities. It's all of that really close to home level of government that I look at. So in addition to trying to prevent it by having good audits and helping people set up systems to prevent fraud, waste, and abuse, we also have an investigations division that can follow up when we see a case of it.
Okay. What are some challenges that you encounter in this work?
I think the biggest challenge right now, and this won't be surprising to anybody, is workforce shortages. Right now, in the United States, about two-thirds of all accountants could retire today. It's a really top-heavy, as far as age, situation, and we're struggling to get more people to come into the field. And this, again, this is not just Minnesota. This is not just government. This is public, private, all across the country, and in the other parts of the world too. So the biggest problem is people have a need for good accountability. In fact, they're asking for more accountability at a time when we have fewer people in the game. So we have to really look at how do we get every bit of accountability out of the resources we have right now. And that's our focus in our office this year, is responding to that shortage in a time when people really expect more accountability every day.
What can legislators do to help you in your mission?
Well, and first off, call me. If you're thinking about throwing the word audit in your bill, call me. I've been really impressed that legislators think about accountability in their programs earlier than they used to. So we see a lot of people putting that right from the start. How are we going to oversee this? And that's terrific. Now we have to get to making sure we're matching their concerns with the right type of accountability. It's tempting just to throw on the word audit and call it a day. But, you know, that may not be the best way to get at the risk you're concerned about. So, reporting might be a better way to do it. A certification might be better to do it. So if we can get involved early, we can look at the risk you're concerned about, match it with the right kind of oversight, and maybe save you some money to boot.
Now, during the interim, one of our senators floated the idea of creating a new tool to help stop with fraud, waste, and abuse, the Office of the Inspector General. What are your thoughts on this?
Oh, it's interesting. A lot of calls. People are saying, is this getting on your territory? Well, of course, I'm local, so primarily, so it really didn't intersect with the stuff that we do. But I think the idea of what do we do to boost accountability is a great discussion. One of the things that I've seen both in public and private sectors that is effective is something like an internal audit structure. You know, if you're an external auditor, like our office is, like the legislative auditor can be, like sometimes the Attorney General's office will be, we have to keep some independence. We can alert you of a problem. We can tell you how risky it is. We can keep an eye on it and follow up on it, but we can't solve it ourselves. And to keep that good independence, to properly assess things, you have to be the one that is going to solve your own problem. And then we check and know if you did. So I think an opportunity where we have more internal audit structures, where somebody can take what they learn from in an audit and then follow it through and make sure that the fixes become reality, learn from the problems and prevent future ones. I think there's an opportunity there. As long as we make sure that we understand those are different. More of the same, I don't think, is what people are looking for. So if they're going to do another type of audit function, add that internal function that goes along with an external audit, but is different than an external audit. You know, so we'll let you know what's going on. Your job is to follow through and fix it. I think there's some opportunity there.
And that sounds like a role that, you know, government workers can play. But is there a place for the public in fighting fraud?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And by the way, if you've ever called our office, anybody who's ever called our office and brought up an issue, thank you. Audits can make sure that there are systems in place to catch fraud, waste, and abuse. But most fraud, waste, and abuse is caught, and this is not just in recent history, this is not just Minnesota, but all across the world, frankly, is by tips. tips are still the best way to catch fraud, which is why you want to have public employees, particularly that are empowered to stand up, speak truth to power when they need to, and are supported. Now, I'm also saying this as a former union representative. One of my favorite things to do as a union rep was make sure that my people had the courage to call out problems when they saw it. And so what they do, you give us a call, you give whoever you need to give a call, and then we can follow up on that. So you know, if you're looking at the budget and something seems way off, seems really unusual, if you see a policy that you think they're not following, you know, with a travel policy or an expense policy. One of the biggest places we find fraud lately in local government has been with purchasing cards. People using a purchasing card for things they can't be purchasing in that role. So if you see something like that, give us a call, send us an email, and we'll walk you through whether or not that's something we should take action on.
And how can they connect with your office? What are their different options there?
Oh, you know, you can call us. Well, usually what I do, if I want to find my stuff, is I go to the internet, type in Minnesota State Auditor. And then you can find in Minnesota State Auditor Report. And in our website, we have reporting forms where you can go through and say, hey, this is what I saw. I'm concerned about this. I just wanted you to know. Now, if you are a public employee or if you are financial staff in local government or an elected official in local government, if you see a problem, you are likely required to report it. So it's not merely if you think there's a problem. When in doubt, you need to call to let somebody know. You are mandated to report if you're in those roles. So give us a call. You know, we can keep it confidential to an extent. We can talk it through with you. We'd rather have you call in mistake then let something get out of hand. So give us a call, we'll talk it out with you.
Auditor, any final thought on this topic?
Well, yeah, you know, I think one of the things that we're seeing in the fraud that came out of COVID, we've been talking about the public employee's role in it, and I think we have to really look at the actual fraudster's role more deeply. One thing that's really consistent about the fraudsters during COVID is that they were from the private sector. So when we look at outsourcing our work, government work to a private entity, we need to really be honest with ourselves about the risks involved. We need to calculate in risk of fraud. We need to calculate in the cost of additional oversight. Because private entities work so differently, particularly around transparency, I mean, hence the word private, right? If we're gonna do that, we have to have other structures where we're really digging into what they do. So those costs need to be planned for if you're looking at outsourcing. Ideally, maybe you don't outsource in the first place. If we can keep our infrastructure in a place where we don't have to rebuild it from zero, we don't necessarily have to go outside our structure that's built on transparency to get things done. So I think not only are we spend a lot of time looking at, say, state agencies, and we should, that's important, but let's not forget that we have the actual fraudsters themselves that need to be under scrutiny, and how do we intersect with the private sector?
All right, Auditor, thank you so much for your time.
Great, thank you.
Cases of state government fraud are investigated by the Minnesota Office of the Legislative Auditor. These cases can include the possible misuse of state money or other public resources and allegations of noncompliance with state law. You can submit an allegation online, over the phone, or via the U.S. mail. That's all the time we have today. Thank you for joining us, and see you next time.